Let's begin by prayer as we are going to open the word of God then this morning. Our precious God, our Redeemer and our Savior, here we are before your holy presence, O God. We are thankful for the weather that you have given to us. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the one who causes rain to fall from the sky, O God, to water the ground for our own good and our purposes. So we are thankful, Father, for such a situation we have this morning. Challenges that you bring before us so that things may be done better. But God, you have given us this opportunity to worship you again this morning. So we thank you, O God, that you are also willing to speak to us again this morning. So we give you thanks and honor, our God. Open our ears and our eyes of the Spirit that we may be able to hear your word, that we may be able to hear you speak to us again this morning. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we all say amen.
Amen.
While the gospel that is preached last week by Pastor Smoo is still on your lips, and that prime, that barbecue is also on your lips. So I think it is great for us as the church to look again at the church we desire to be. The church we desire to be. On the 31st of August this year, my friend and brother Baba Ras, he preached to us a message entitled "The Church We Desire to Be." He mentioned to us how they love the gospel, how they loved one another.
We love you, Kamoto.
He also mentioned that we do not want to be like any other church around here, but the church which God established in those days. We want to be like the early church. They loved the gospel. They loved one another. And they were feared by the world. And above all, they honored God in all that they did. They were built on a solid ground, the word of God. And they were pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So this morning, we are going to continue then on the very same subject, the church we desire to be. So please, turn in your Bibles then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we read together then verses
12 to 14. Bana beso ra le rapela hore le khalemele dikgoba le khothatse banyahameng dipelo le thuse ba fokolang le mamelle bohle.
We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we argue you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the fainted-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genuine worship of God and prayer. It is the cornerstone of the Christian church. A reverence to God leads to the love of the gospel. It leads to true worship and prayer, and without a question in your heart. And it's the lack of such that drives the church down the drain. So without the gospel in the veins of the church, there will be no fear of God, and there will be no true faith among the believers. There will be no respect, and there will be no love among one another if there's no gospel in the veins of the church. And consequently, we will have no blessings from the Lord as a church and as individuals. So it is a blessing, brothers and sisters, to know that God provides a faithful leadership to His church. Those who lead the church, those who shepherd the flock of Christ, those who shepherd us as a people of God. Those who shepherd the local assembly according to the direction, the purpose, and the will of our chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Why all this? So that we may have discipline. So that we may grow together, so that we may grow in our knowledge and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we may have discipline. Because if we have no discipline, we have no control. And if we have no control, then we have chaos. Then when there is chaos, then there is disorder. And the God called us is not a God of disorder. The spirit that indwells us as the children of God is not a spirit of disorder, but the spirit of peace, love, gentleness, and kindness, self-control.
So
there are four practical points I want to bring to us this morning. I want us to look at this point so that we can see the church that we want to be. So that we may also see the life of Christ in these verses as we open the Word of God. The verses we have read this morning, verse 12 to 14, are actually an instruction to the church. First, to respect their leaders. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. What this tells us is that the church of Thessalonica, the people of Thessalonica, the community there, they had lost their respect to their leaders. They were not adequately accepting or appreciating the work that the leaders were doing in the church. And that became a very important matter in the life of the apostle. Then he addresses it as we are looking at it this
morning.
After dealing with some few problems in the church and some concerns in the church, he comes to this. Remember what was happening here. There were people who were thinking that should Christ return, those who are dead will be left there in the graves.
The Apostle
Paul deals with this problem and he says, no, it is not so. The dead will rise and then the living will join the dead and they will meet the Lord in the air and they shall be with the Lord forever. That will be the end. When the dead and the living come together and meet the Lord. So they must not think that in some way they will face the wrath of God at the end of history. Do not worry about the things that are happening around you. Don't worry about the dead, your loved ones. When Christ returns, we shall be together.
He says
in chapter number 5, verse 9, he says, because God has not called you as the church to wrath. He has not destined you to wrath. In other words, he has not made your path to lead to destruction.
As
you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So do not worry about those things. But there is something that you should worry about. You should keep watch. You must wait. You must be ready for the coming of the Lord. You must still be in a state of a person ready for the coming of Christ. And your readiness will be seen then by your response to your leaders as well. So your Christianity is not complete unless you also know how to deal with one another, how to love one another, how to respect each other.
So because
so he says, respect your leaders, honor them, behold them, consider them. And as you look at these verses, you do not see who are the leaders that the Apostle Paul is talking about. He does not give us the names of these leaders, but one thing for sure, they are not the kind of leaders who load everything upon your shoulders. These are people, he says, they labor among you. That's how you see through leadership. People who labor among you. They don't load it upon you. Those are the people you need to respect. They are not your slaves. They are the slaves of Christ. That is why you need to respect them. Because of the calling that is upon them, that Christ has called them to lead you. The same Christ who lives in you, the same Christ who raised you from the dead, has called this man to be your leaders. They teach in the church, they teach in what they say, they teach in what they do. They instruct you as the church gently. They are called by God to partner with Him to bring you as the church at the end of history, to bring you and present you before God as that ready bride, as that good harvest from this fallen
worlds.
So you need to act kindly towards them. You need to acknowledge them. Acknowledge them as the messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the ambassadors of the gospel. Look at verse 12 again. Respect them. Why?
He
says in verse 12, they are over you. Did you see that in verse 12? They are over you in the Lord. So God has set them in a higher position in the church. He has given them a higher place in the church. And they have some kind of precedence and government in the church. Look at it this way. They are over you. Just as God was over Christ when Christ was here on earth. But now, the apostle is bringing the same kind of instruction to the church. So let the mind that was of Christ be in you as well. Do you remember the mind that was of Christ? He did not regard equality as something to be grasped with God. So we look at Jesus Christ, we look at how he respected and honored his Father. Then we learn from there how we should honor and respect our own leaders in the church. First Peter chapter 5 verses 2 and 3. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says.
Verse 2 and 3.
Now the Apostle Peter is speaking now to the shepherd, not to the church. He's speaking to those in which the Apostle Paul says they are over you, but now he gives instruction to the shepherd as well. He says in verse 2 and 3, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God will have you, not for shameful gains, but eagerly, not dominating over those in your charge, but being example of the flock.
Oh, Buddhism Balona. Lo shokamele kabitaupo. Kamuwa or atang kimudim. Isinka ka hokubelwa. Ebe kalerato. Isinka uipate la maruo kamano. Babi lo shokamelo nyalona. Lesikela babusa katata. Lempelebe mushala or mushapi walona.
So what the Apostle Peter is saying here? He says, indeed, the leadership is over you. But they are still under God's watchful eye. They are bound to lead you and walk before you by example. So the Apostle Paul writes to this church then because he's aware that in a growing church, especially where the leaders are true leaders and are friendly and kind towards the people, it is possible that the believers will take advantage of the situation and see the humility of the leaders as weakness. The Apostle Paul had the same problem in the first in the church of Corinth, Bazalwane. Where he was trying to lead the church with love. He was passionate about the gospel. He was passionate about church planting. He was so much in love with the people that he actually decided to decrease himself to the level of the people. Look what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5.
Open 1
Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5.
Chapter 2, verse 5.
This is what the Apostle Paul says. My speech and my message were not in words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.
Bolelwa ka mantsu a hapang o bohlale ba motho ene ene ka matla a godisa moya o halalela.
He gives us
ene lo re modimo wa lona ene lo go tumelo ya lona e sika ya thewa o di ma bohlale ba motho empa e thewe o di ma matla a modimo.
He gives us a perfect example of true leadership.
Bona o re fa ntho mohlala o motla wa ntho wa ntho wa
people live by example.
O re neke batho ba etela pele ka
mohlala. Shows you Christ in them.
O re neke batho ba o bontsha Kriste ka pele.
My speech was of the same level as you when I came to you.
O re ne puo ya
so that you yourself
o re ne lona
we may not rest in the wisdom of man but in the power of the gospel. Ska ya mantho
mohlala ba motho e ya mantho matle a moya o halalela.
But look how other people treated him because of his humility in the church.
Look,
that's what you get. That's the same problem we have in the Thessalonian church. Because the man of God is humble and respectful towards the people. Look how they treated him in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse
10.
For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak. His speech is of no account.
Yeah.
They say he writes with power because he's far from them, but when he's with them, he's like a weak man. So there was that spirit of disrespect in the church, mistaking the humility of the Apostle Paul as weakness. And the same was happening here in the church of
Thessalonians.
They were losing their respect towards their leaders. And that is not the church we desire to be. The Apostle Paul is not saying you need to worship your leaders. He's saying you need to respect your leaders. So, because God have called you to his church and have given you the spirit now that works in you and conforms you to the image of his son. How was Jesus Christ? Let me give it to you again. Though he was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God as a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in the human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and given him or bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on earth, under the earth, and above the earth, in heaven and in every way, that Jesus Christ they may confess his Lord. So what is the call to us as the church? You as a born again Christian, you need to work your salvation with trembling and fear. Because God works in you both to will and to work in accordance to his purpose in glory. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 says. Listen to what the apostle says there. He says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls and those who will have to give an account one day.
Eramamelang batsamaisi ba lona lipetla sa bona ba le hlokomela ka ha ba ke karabela ka lona etsang hore ba ba fete ho ka thabo e seng ka maswabi ho ba ne ha betsa ka maswabi ho hokeke ha letswala molemo wa letho.
Yeah, let this not be done so that it cause your leaders to work in groaning and without joy. So the idea here, Bazwana, is that when you obey your leaders, your souls are taken care of. And there will be harmony and joy in the work that they do. What do these leaders do that I presented to you? I can tell you now. They pray for you. Name by name. According to your needs, we pray for you. We take time and meet together and pray. Why? So that there may be joy and peace and growth in the church. What must you do? Respect your leaders. As you will respect Christ. But the second thing, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 13, esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You see, that does not mean that only the leaders, they work in the church. You also work in a church. But this is a special message to this church of Thessalonica, because they were not looking or taking the work of these leaders in a very serious way. They were disregarding the work of these people.
They
were looking down at the work of edifying the church. The work of training your souls to be in line with the confession of your faith. That is our job, to train your souls to be in line in the confession of your faith. What is the confession of your faith? You are a Christian. So we guide you, we lead you in a way that will prove or bring fruit out of you that truly you are born again and Christ died for you. Bring the light of the gospel in your life.
In
words
and in deeds.
He continued to say that those who are lazy in the church, they must be rebuked. And he says the leaders must rebuke the lazy ones. By God's provision and by God's grace, at least we do not have any lazy person among us. But it is the work of the leaders to admonish the lazy one, the idle ones. And then especially to rebuke you when you go astray. In the spirit of love, by the word of God. Listen to what the apostle says in 1 Timothy chapter 5. There he warns the young Timothy. He says, do not rebuke an elder man, but encourage him. He speaks this actually in the context where the elder person is among other people.
tsela mona lo o bela tlo Timothy re ne o ska ba khalimela mothamo holo hampe ha o le holo ntho ha le hara batho ba ba.
He says treat them as would a father. Young men as a brother, older women as a mother, younger women as a sister, in all purity.
See,
there he speaks to the pastor. If that is the standard that the Bible sets for the pastor to teach or to treat the people, it is the same standard then that God sets to the church, that the church may teach each other in the right spirit as well. So friends, as we grow together, we must not misunderstand or lose focus to the calling that God has called us with. What is the calling? To respect your leaders, to esteem them highly in love because of their work. Listen to this. Esteem them in love, not in fear, not in hypocrisy, not in words only, but in hearts. Consider their work. Pray for their work. These are people who work among you. Let me ask this question, my friend. If you do not love someone, is it possible to respect that person? That is why then the Apostle Paul says, first respect them and esteem them in love. It would be impossible for you to respect them if you don't love them. If it would be possible for you to love them if you don't respect them. So he says, brothers, you must esteem them in love, not in fear. So this is possible only because, my friends, you, or he's writing to a church, or you have seen the beauty of the cross. If you have seen the beauty of the cross, if you have been raised from the dead, you receive this with great honor. Because you know that you have a great future ahead. God or his son is coming and is going to take us home so that wherever he is, we may be also. There's a question I'm leaving with you. Do you love your leaders? Do you honor them as you will honor Christ? Do you love one another? I leave that with you. He says the third thing in verse 13 again. Be at peace among yourselves. So, if he says be at peace among yourselves, it reminds us then, my friends, that we are called by a God of peace, through the gospel of peace, by the spirit of peace. That's why we can be at peace. So he says, be at peace with your leaders. But also, be at peace with one another. Be at peace with your spouse. Be at peace with your children. Be at peace with men. Because you are a child of God. You are the person who must cultivate peace in this world.
So there
should be no quarrels among yourselves. But peace. Let me pause and tell you why I'm saying all these things. As a growing church, when people come to the church for the first time, they learn from the people who are in the church how to behave in the church. And if the people who are in the church are a rotten foundation, then everything is going to collapse. And we are not a rotten foundation. But you want to strive for more. So we receive this as an instruction from the Lord. If you love one another, people will come here see you loving one another. If you respect your leaders, people will respect your leaders and therefore respect the gospel. The same thing happened in the early church. The people said, look how they love each other. Look how they respect each other. They share everything with one another. That's a good foundation. Be at peace with one another. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, argue you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Tsale nna ke le mtshwaruwa wa ka paka la mrena ke le rapela gore le phele ka mogwa o tshwanelang pitso e le mtsiditsweng ka yona ka dikopabetso bohle le bonolo le biphapanyo le ka ho mamelana ka lerato le thaselle ho boloka bongwe ba moya ka ho tlamahana ka kgotso.
Yes. So the apostle calls to the whole church here, my friend, saying that the Christian's behavior should be in the manner worthy of the gospel. That is how you will see whether the gospel has cultivated some good in you, as it should be. If you walk in the manner of humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. If there will be a sincere practice of humility, listen to what the Apostle Peter says, Peter, 1 Peter verse 5, chapter 5. He says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves to all of you with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Here's a call. Here's a call to humble yourselves under the leadership of the church. And clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Why? The apostle says it's because God opposes the proud. He resists the proud. He rejects those who disrespect each other. God rejects a church that disrespects one another and their leaders. God rejects those who refuse to be guided and be led in accordance to the ways of God. And that is not the church we want to be. So the peace among us as a people must be a proof of who we are and what we have. Who we are. We are the children of God. What do we have? We have the Spirit of God indwelling us if we have been born from God.
Amen.
And we know there can be no peace among us unless we ourselves have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Unless we have the peace that calms the storms in our own lives, then we will not, if we don't have that peace, we will not have the peace that calms storms and causes you not to cause storms in other people's lives. So having the peace of God calms your storm. And then it causes you also to cause no one any storm in his life.
I truly said it to fear for to now.
So, expect the peace of God if you have God. Do you have that peace of God? If you do not have this peace of God, how can you expect peace in your life? In whatever you do. And if you have this peace of God, how is it that you're still causing storms in other people's lives? Friends, that is the peace that causes the church to run well. It is that peace like a river which attended your way and taught you of him who shed his blood for you. The peace of God points you to the cross. God is calling us to be a people of peace. Not to be a Boko Haram in the church. The fourth point. The last point. A shorter point. We desire to be a church which will care for the needy. Verse 14. There's so much in verse 14, I cannot unpack everything right now. But let's read what it says. And we argue you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the fainted heart, help the weak, be patient with them. We must be a church that cares for the needy. Because my friend, that is in the center of the gospel. God himself, he came from heaven, seeing a needy sinner in this world. He left the air of the heaven and he came to breathe the dust of this sinful world because of the needy sinners. The Bible says he went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So Jesus Christ did not discriminate. In verse 14, the Apostle Paul begins by condemning the spirit of idleness in the church. Lazy people must be rebuked. I said it. I'm repeating myself. Then he continues to say, encourage the fainted hearts, help the weak, be patient with them all. Who are these needy and the weak we're talking about here? People with us. Among us. Then he was referring to those who have lost courage in the face of persecution. Remember, he was talking about those who have lost the weak in faith, and they had leak knowledge of the truth. But that doesn't mean they were not saved. So he speaks now to those who actually can see things better. He says, be patient with them. Help the weak. Those who are poor among you. He says, support them. Carry them through their weakness and carry their burdens with them. Friends, people in our church must not find themselves as aliens. No, people must feel at home. They must feel the touch of the gospel in your hands as you deal with them. They must feel the touch of the gospel, of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must not be aliens. Regardless of their background. Regardless of how people look like to you, the gospel called us to be one. We are one people serving one God. So no discrimination. We treat each other perfect according to the will of God. And these things happen, brothers, in the early church. If you read chapter 6 of Acts, there was a time when the widows were discriminated. Guess what? It was not intentional. It was not intentional. But it was still a concern. And that is not the church we desire to be. We will not intentionally discriminate people. Every person is welcome. We are all equal in the eyes of the Lord and equally important even in our diversities in Christ. The sick will be treated with respect. The poor will be treated with respect. That is the church we desire to be. That is the calling God has called us to be. So he says, be patient with them. So you must respond to one another in an appropriate way. You do not treat people bad. You must not be intolerant to the weak and the poor in the church. Let me close by saying this, my friends. If we are in Christ, if this church is built on the solid foundation of the Word, if Christ has worked in your hearts and you consider yourself as the body of Christ, then we have the same DNA, if I may put it that way. We have something in common with the Thessalonian church. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are saved by the grace of God. We are immersed in the death of Christ. We are saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ourselves are waiting for that great day of the Lord that is coming. So these words come to us as words of instruction. Because our King is coming soon. And something is about to happen. God is going to take us home. So practical things, respect your leaders. As you would respect Christ. Esteem them highly in love. Have peace. Be at peace with each other and among yourselves. care for the needy. Because if we fail to do so, bazalwane, that is evil before the Lord. He says the same in verse 22. He says, abstain from every form of evil. In other words, spiritual defection against or towards one another is evil. Yes. That's what God says. It causes people to be unthankful.
Verse 18.
Then it causes people to quench the spirit.
Verse 19.
Then it causes people to disrespect prophecy, which is now the complete word of God. Verse 20. That is what God calls us to be. Respecting our leaders, esteem them high, be at peace with one another, care for the needy. How can this be? Because Christ died for us and raised us from the dead, so it is possible with us. In him, the Apostle Paul says, in him we live, in him we move, and have our being. And finally, we are his offsprings. That is a challenge, bazalwane. A practical instruction. May the good Lord bless you. As we set a foundation in a godly way. Praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
May the good Lord bless you.
We thank you, O Lord, for your words. We thank you, O Lord, that we could learn from the church of Thessalonians. We could learn, O Lord, from the first church, the church that lived in holiness, O Lord, the church that when we read about it, O Lord, we desire to be like it. We desire that, O Lord, to make move amongst us, O Lord, like you moved in those days of the first church, O Lord. May you help us, O Lord, to be like this church, to be a church where we love one another, where there is peace, O Lord, where the leaders, O Lord, do not lord over your people. But Lord, they are remember that the sheep are yours. And you, O Lord, have just chosen us to just be a shepherd for them. So may you help us, O Lord, to build this foundation as a young church, a church that is still growing, O Lord, that we may lay down this foundation for many years to come, O Lord. That this place, O Lord, may be called a place of prayer, a place where people, O Lord, may find refuge in your word. May you be with us, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. You may all say amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord keep you and bless you until we see each other again.
Amen.